Welcoming Donna Copeland back from the Boy Scouts organization. We have other guests, but we'll introduce the voices one at a time. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, Charlie. Thanks for having us.
Always happy to talk scouting with you guys, and I know we've got a special event here in town. So for those that haven't caught up with the publicity, and you didn't hear us last week when we were talking about it, what's going on in Bartlesville?
Well, we're very excited as part of the Cherokee Area Boy Scout Council, whose headquarters is here in Bartlesville, that we are hosting a patron dinner this evening to thank those who have assisted us in the past year with not only their finances, but their time and their talents and their energy to provide a really quality program for our youth here. And it'll be at the community center this evening at 6:30. You can still come to the front door, and we would love to welcome anyone who would like to join us because of our special guest.
And of course, scouting, I think of scouting as a organization run primarily with volunteers. Yes, we have a full-time staff, and certainly volunteers, it's a nonprofit organization. It takes funds to do everything from turn on the lights and answer the phone to get supplies and just the continuing expenses of a more than 100-year organization.
Absolutely. We also have a splendid camp east of town, close to Osage Hills State Park. You might notice the sign that says Camp McClintock.
Mm-hmm.
Has a wonderful variety of activities for the young people. One of them I have not done is the zip line across the creek at night, but that is available.
Depending on how acrophobic or whatever the term is for being afraid of the dark, you may or may not want to do that, but it sounds like fun.
Right. And the Sand Creek's not generally very clean, so that is something to consider.
It's got water in it, you'd think.
And more at times.
Yes. Bonus. Well, speaking of bonuses, you did mention we have a guest. And
yes.
I guess I can say speaker for the event. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We're really pleased to have Rabbi Peter Hyman join us today. He's been involved with the National Religious Relationships Committee in a variety of positions, but most notably as chaplain. Mm-hmm. And so I'd like for you to speak with him and
hear what
he has to share with us.
Well, thank you, Charlie. Nice to be here.
Thank you so much for making the trip from home to Bartlesville.
Well, listen, there are people you can say no to, and there are people you can't say no to. And Donna and my dear friend Dave Richardson, who is a council executive, you can't say no to. At least I can't.
It's one of those things. I have trouble saying no a lot of times.
Yeah.
But yeah, in this situation, being a scout chaplain, it seems like you, it may not be your primary vocation, I don't know, but it's certainly a great avocation.
Well, it is indeed. I've been fortunate. I'm a rabbi. I have a congregation in Easton, Maryland, which is on the Chesapeake. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Different beauty than this. I am overwhelmed by how beautiful Bartlesville is in the area, and I got a chance to see a little bit of it yesterday, and I'm just delighted and proud to be here, and I thank my friends very much for the invitation.
Well, certainly, we want you to come back anytime you can schedule some time. I know that our friends are going to show you as much as they can.
Yep.
But I think it takes more than a day to really appreciate what we have.
Absolutely. But
how long have you been associated with scouting?
Well, this is an interesting question. When I say all my life, I really mean all my life. My father was a scoutmaster, and I was at Boy Scout camp when I was 2 years old.
Wow.
There was no question of the expectation in the Hyman household. My mother was a... I'm chuckling. My mother was a den mother. I don't think she liked that, but that's fine. And then I went into a troop where my friends were, and became an Eagle Scout, and then after stayed through in registered through college, and then once I was in rabbinical school, that's the only break that I've not been a registered scout. And then after rabbinical school, I had a chance to serve as a chaplain at a national jamboree, and I became very active in the national Jewish Committee on Scouting and the Religious Relationships Division. That's how I get to know Dave Richardson when he was back in Dallas.
Well, that's awful. I mean, to have a friend like Dave, it's just, I don't know how you bear it.
I know, it's tough, but, you know, we all have our burdens in life.
Well, that was a pretty easy burden to bear,
oh,
I think.
Man.
And in some ways, I feel for you. I think any youngster who has their parent as a teacher or their parent as a scout leader or parent somewhere in your organization, there's an extra burden there for you, too.
Ask my children. I have two boys. They're both Eagle Scouts. And they are, I'll tell a story in a minute, but the deal was, you want a driver's license, I need to see an Eagle project. And it worked.
What a great motivation.
Oh, well, can I tell one quick story?
You can tell all the stories you want.
My youngest son is a physician. Mm-hmm. He graduated the University of Texas. Both my oldest son's a lawyer, both UT graduates. And when the younger one was, after graduating medical school, interviewed all over the country for residency positions, mm-hmm. he ends up interviewing at Einstein Hospital in New York. And he calls me after the interview, and he said, it was a four-hour interview. I said, 4 hours? What'd you do for 4 hours? He said, the first 2 hours we talked about the World Jamboree it took us to, the National Jamboree, my Eagle Project, what it means to be an Eagle Scout. Turns out that the head of otolaryngology, which is what he is, mm-hmm. an otolaryngologist, is an Eagle Scout, a Scoutmaster, and a father of three Eagle Scouts. And you know that when that man looked at all these resumes that were totally equal, first in their class and all that sort of stuff, he saw on my son's application, Eagle Scout, he made a beeline because his expectation was that there was a common set of values and principles, and that's where he ended up.
It's one of those organizations that you're instantly family.
Yes.
It's the same, whether it's a military connection, a scouting connection,
absolutely.
A college fraternity connection.
Absolutely.
There is one of those things that you're instantly family.
Absolutely, and that's really true. I've been on my world experiences. I see somebody in a scout uniform, my expectation is that they have the same values and the same worldview, more or less, than I do. And it's true. I mean, we'll talk about the Saudi thing in a little while, but
sure.
That's proof of it.
Well, tell us a little bit about World Jamboree, because I think it's an interesting topic, and people, if you didn't get to go, you missed out.
Yeah, I've been pretty fortunate. I've been to several of them. And the first one I did was in 1984. Is that when? I think 84 was the Jamboree in Australia, the World Jamboree. Mm-hmm. And I came back and I wrote an article where I said that I really believe that someday the world will be in a crisis and there'll be people sitting across a negotiating table. And the only thing that they will have in common is both negotiators went to a World Jamboree, and that will start the conversation that turns the world to a better place. The founder of scouting, Baden Powell, had this vision of world peace. His writing, many of his writings could have been written yesterday. In my talk tonight, I'm gonna quote a couple of those passages,
mm-hmm.
but it is a remarkable organization that really does do good. And I don't mean just doing good turns and helping old ladies or old men across.
We would expect scouts to automatically do that.
Yeah, but it creates a relationship between people that is genuine, that is productive, and that has the ability to help change the world in which we live. When I went to Saudi Arabia, they'll hear this tonight, but there was no reason for the rabbi, an American rabbi, to go to Saudi Arabia, except...
Well, it sounded like a mission field to me.
in some ways it was, but I'm still friendly with people that I met there. And at the World Jamboree in 2019, on my staff will be one of these, he's a younger man, he's my kid's age, but... he'll be on staff representing Saudi scouting in the faith and beliefs area. That's an example of the power and the intent of scouting. You know, it builds bridges, it creates relationships, and it allows friendships to sprout in really fertile soil.
Wow. I understand there's something coming to the U.S., West Virginia, right?
Yes, 2019. It's the 24th World Scout Jamboree. In West Virginia, the Boy Scouts of America have just built a beautiful new campus in the mountains of West Virginia, outside of Beckley, West Virginia. The World Jamboree will be held at the summit, the Bechtel Summit Family Reserve. And 40,000 scouts from 180 plus, I think 182 or four countries will gather for this remarkable 10-day experience of scouting unity, and it brings the world together. And I truly believe, and I know I sound like I'm Pollyanna, but I'm not. I'm so moved by the potential and possibility that the World Jamboree can really affect how people see each other. You know, we engage with folk that we never have another opportunity to engage with, and it's real.
Well, I mean, how many times, and I don't want to get into degrees of separation and all that, but, you know, just two people theoretically that have been at that event that maybe at least said hi to each other, and later, 20, 30, 40 years down the road, something happens.
There are all kinds of, and they're not just make-believe stories. There are documented real stories about people who were in all kinds of situations, and they met as children at a jamboree, and things blossomed from there 40 years later, 30 years later. I mean, Dave knows these stories. Certainly Donna knows these stories well.
And you get to be the chief storyteller tonight.
Yeah, I do. I'm honored, and I really am. I am far more blessed than I deserve, and the Boy Scouts of America has given me opportunities, this included, that I would have never have dreamed of being able to do.
Well, you are invited tonight. We're going to take a short break and continue talking with our friends from Scouting when we continue in just a moment on 1400 K1.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process in which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
And continuing our time with Scouting, talking with Donna Copeland and Rabbi Hyman this morning, and talking about the event tonight at the Community Center. Donna, again, it starts at 6:30
in the community hall.
Okay, so you are invited, and I'm sure would be welcomed if we can find a chair for you.
We can, absolutely.
We'll find a chair one way or the other, again, no doubt. Rabbi, certainly some challenges with Scouting and the World Jamboree, just languages alone, although Scouting, to a certain extent, is its own language, whether it's in French or Greek or Arabic.
Whatever, absolutely. And again, The commonality is a shared set of values, a shared body of principles, and Baden Powell in his writing says, camping is a means to an end. And the end is to unite the world, in the quote that I will use tonight, he says, to bring some sanity to an insane world. Those words were written in the beginning of the 20th century, and as I said, they could have been written yesterday. The mission hasn't changed. The challenge living in a global world is even greater than it was 100 years ago. And that's part of the power and the remarkable reality of Boy Scouts.
Well, and I understand that you were able to visit the first the site, at least, of the first troop in America.
Yesterday, and I had no idea, and it gave me goosebumps. I know. I really mean this. It saw the charter, and we were in the room that the first scouts held their meetings, and it started a powerful movement.
Well, and I don't know if I can recommend that to scouts all over the world, but I think it would be a great opportunity to get that physical touch connection.
Absolutely, you know that's exactly correct. I was in the room in Hamilton. They have the song "In the Room Where I Want to Be," in the room where it happened. Mm-hmm. I was in the room where it happened.
And that's something that I think you carry with you as an experience through a lifetime. It's like going to Congress or like going, you know, top of the Empire State Building or whatever.
Absolutely. And again, for me, having been, I can't. There's not a time in my life where I wasn't involved. Mm-hmm. As I said, from 2 years old on. There's a power to it. There's a foundational reality that stabilizes the whole experience for me. being there. And, you know, this is where it started. This is where it happened. And even before it was nationally recognized, this is it's history that's alive and real.
I think chaplains are a special type of people. My experience more through the military side of chaplaincy, but yep. nonetheless, you carry a special status. Yep. You are. It doesn't matter your religious tradition. Your overall mission is the same.
There's no question about it. I always say, as I work with training our chaplains for jamborees and national and world jamborees, anybody can lead worship on a Friday afternoon, a Friday evening, a Saturday morning, a Sunday morning, and we do that because part of our mission is duty to God, mm-hmm. and we take that seriously. But I've always been concerned with when something happens that's camp-wide and catastrophic. That's important to be able to respond as a caregiver, as an empathetic reality, and that transcends religious and theological lines. Mm-hmm. And Dave will tell you we've been in situations where that's happened, and the chaplaincy responded as it needed to, irrespective of religious persuasion or theological.
Well, and I think that goes down to scout basics: do my duty to God. You know,
that's exactly correct.
I understand you recently represented the Messengers of Peace program.
I did. I had the great good fortune of being asked to chair the Messengers of Peace program, which was a program started by the late King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia. He gave around $37 million to the World Organization of Scout Movements to start Messengers of Peace, and I was fortunate enough to be asked to chair it for the United States. And that's how I got to Saudi Arabia. But the notion of Messengers of Peace is a scouting message, that we are exactly that. We are messengers of peace. And Messengers of Peace supporters go out into the community and, along with their Eagle projects, do other projects focusing on everything from water issues in Africa to bullying issues around the world and lots of stuff in between. It was a privilege and an honor to be there, and it's still a privilege and an honor to represent Messengers of Peace at the Boy Scouts of America.
Well, I'm sure you'll touch on that a little bit as well tonight.
I will,
and
briefly, absolutely.
I don't want to rob too much of your message, but it's nice to get an insight, pull back the curtain a little bit and see what's going on.
Yeah, and again, it's just another, and I don't mean to minimize it, just another, but it is another example of how scouting can influence the world for good, and not just, you know, not just our local communities, but this has a worldwide impact.
Scouting, I think, is almost universally accepted by parents as a organization that if your youngster is involved in scouting, something good is going to happen.
That's certainly the expectation. There's no question about that. And by and large, our success rate is remarkable. You know. As I said, with still hard to say, Dr. Hyman, my youngest.
Congratulations, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much. You know, that's an example of that, as well as the older one. But and all their lot of their friends. I was a scoutmaster when they were going through, mm-hmm. and several of their friends are also Eagles, and they are all successful in their chosen fields.
And I'm sure all of those young boys can now say, I knew him. I was in his house.
Yeah, yeah. It's remarkably satisfying.
Well, thank you for your investment in scouting. Thank you for your investment in the lives of not only the young men that you helped build, but scouting worldwide.
It's my privilege, it's my honor, and it's my blessing. So, Charlie, thanks.
Just a real quick answer, because I don't have any more time, but I think it's important. Overall, do you think the investment's worth it?
Beyond. Yes, absolutely. It is. You get back far more for your money than just the monetary donation.
And Donna, that's what you're going to be messaging tonight. Thank you for
that's
your money,
right.
For your support.
Thank you. See you there.
See you there. Again, starts at 6:30
and
Community Hall at the Bartlesville Community Center. And if you are already on the list, great. If not, you are invited. You can show up.
Absolutely.
And we'll find a chair for you.
We will.
Donna, thank you so much. Rabbi, thank you for coming to Bartlesville.
My privilege. Thanks.
And Dave Richardson, you were in the room, but a silent partner. Thanks so much for being here today. That's a Community Connection on 1400 K1. News on the way next from the Oklahoma News Network. 5 minutes before 9 at K1.
From the ONN, I'm Sean Carey. A Lawton man is facing...